Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning to each and every one of you, those of you on the phone lines, those of you who decided to join us on Facebook Live, and those who are here in the church this morning. Thank you all for choosing to worship with us this day. Thank you so very much. It's a beautiful day. I know it's cloudy, I know it's raining, but the sun still shines, amen? I mean, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. The S-O-N is shining, amen? And that's something to be happy about. And each and every one should give God some praise, some honor, some glory this morning. Yes, yes, we should.
Allow me to be in your presence once again. Dear Lord, thank you for
Thank you for starting me on my way. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a do-right type of mind. Dear Lord, I thank you for a portion of my health and strength. Dear Lord, and I just thank you for all of your people. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving us a safe journey this morning. Even though it's raining, we came. We come to do your will, we come to do your work, and we come to do it your way, oh Lord. And I just thank you for guiding us. Thank you for blessing us, dear Lord. You know, I hit a big puddle on my way. It scared me to death. The car just, you know, did its thing. But I just thank you for bringing me through it, oh Lord. And then I'm sure there's so many unseen dangers that you kept me away from, dear Lord. And I thank you for them all. Dear Lord, I ask that you please just go through the hospitals. Dear Lord, bless each and every one. Dear Lord, just touch them, Lord. There are many in the hospital that would just love to be with us this day. But I ask that you please just bless them. Touch them, dear Lord. Let them know that you are God and that everything is going to be all right. Dear Lord, just give us a peace, oh Lord. Dear Lord, I ask that you please just go through the rest homes, dear Lord, through the prisons, through the homes of all, dear Lord, who can't get out for one reason or another. Dear Lord, whether they're locked up or whether they're just staying at home because of the COVID, dear Lord, whatever the reason is, I ask that you please just continue to be their friend, continue to be their guide, their comforter, be their all in all, Lord Jesus. I ask that you please just continue to dwell within us, dear Lord. Keep your whole sweet Holy Spirit within us to encourage us, dear Lord, to lead and guide us, dear Lord, to just be our all in all. Because we know we got the Holy Spirit, we got Jesus, and we got God. Lord, we just thank you just for being you. And dear Lord, this is my prayer this morning. Amen. This morning, I'm going to read you a portion of scripture out of the book of Corinthians. If y'all would go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to go down and I'm going to start at verse 10. And I'm going to read until the Spirit tells me to stop. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. And it reads, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is worth. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells within your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolish in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are few. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or presence, or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God's word has already been blessed. This morning, before we go any farther, we have some candidates that would like to speak to you all this morning. I don't know who want to go first. I guess a show of hands. We got our very own brother, Seneca Rogers, and he's going to come up and speak to you all first. And then he'll be followed with Dreamer Caldwell. Amen. And then after that, the pastor will be before you. Thank you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
As you already know, I am running for Alamance Burlington School Board this year. I've done spoke a couple of times in front of the church about my candidacy, but this morning I just want to speak to you because early voting starts this upcoming week. It starts on Thursday, October the 15th. And this year we actually have our first Sunday voting day, which is October the 18th, and that will be at Elmira Community Center. We finally got a location here on Eastern Northern Burlington. So we need everybody to come out, support that location. But just get out and get your early voting on. And if you already did your mail-in voting, that's great. We got to get a lot of people out to vote this year. We've got Souls to the Polls that is actually happening on October the 18th. And that's going to be from 12 to 4 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, we're meeting at Dollar General. And then we're going to actually march over to Elmira Center. They're going to be a group out there that is having hot dogs, chips. It's a playground out there for kids to play. It'll be water, soda, Gatorades, everything. Just trying to make an event of the day. Trying to show that there is major support for us having Sunday voting, but then also support for the Elmira Center being a new location. So hopefully in the future we can get more locations out. But like I said, I am Seneca Rogers, running for Alamance Burlington School Board this year. I mean, we have to make sure that we're supporting our schools and our public education. It is very important to the foundation of our community. So when you get to the ballot and you get under the Board of Education, my name is the second name on there. You can vote for four, but remember, my name is the second name on there. And remember, we are the neighborhood, and the neighborhood is coming back to the table. So at this time, I want to introduce Dreamer Caldwell, She's actually running for county commissioner this year, and I just want her to give a chance to speak for y'all to hear her out there in Facebook land.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. My name is Dreama Caldwell. I am a native of Alamance County. I have been educated here in Alamance County, new to politics, but not new to the issues here in Alamance County. I spent many years working in the community, working in the faith community, working in the nonprofit communities, and listening to people and hearing that people feel like they don't have a voice or they are not included here in the county. And so I decided to run. I'm kind of running against the odds. I'm the new kid on the block. I don't have name recognition. I haven't been in a race before. I don't have degrees in education and political science. But what I have, you cannot learn in a classroom. I do have lived experience. I have lived here and lived in poverty. I have lived here and been homeless. I've lived in public housing. I've lived getting public services here in Alamance County, so I'm aware of what those issues are. You just heard from Seneca, who is running from school board, and what we have on stake right now are the futures of our children. One in four children in Alamance County live in poverty. And there are 9,000 homes where those children experience food insecurity. So while we're busy arguing with one another about the issues, our children are suffering here in Alamance County. And in order to create a new and a better future for them, we have to get leaders in place that care about the future of those children, care about the future of this community, and are vested. Although our poverty is only at 13% here, that 13% does not have representation. One of the challenges that I've had this year while campaigning is dealing with a community that is disengaged in politics, a community that feels like it doesn't really matter. No candidate supports them. No candidate listens to them. And so I'm running to let them know that there are people that care about you. There are people that see you. There are people that hear you and know your struggles. And I care about your struggles. And I'm running for that reason, but for the reason because I'm asking people to get engaged politically, attend your school board meetings, attend your county commissioner meetings, hold these elected officials accountable. That is a part of politics that we don't do, is we get people in office and then we don't hold them accountable. They can tell us whatever they need to tell us to get elected, and then we're not holding them accountable to that. So I am asking that you go vote. If you have not registered to vote, you may register and vote during early voting. You will need to bring ID for that purposes, but you do not have to have IDs to show up to vote if you've already registered. It is important that we get involved and we take back our community and use our vote as our voice. Thank you to Arches Grove, to the pastor, to the leadership, and to the members for this opportunity. Thank you.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God as we give honor to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We thank him for his presence. I'd like to thank Brother Seneca Rogers, Sister Dreama Caldwell for their tenacity and strength to run for office. And I'd like to thank the members of our church, in particular, our ministers, our officers, amen, and the opportunity to stand before God's people, I do not take it lightly. I'd like to thank God for those of you who may be on our call-in line, those who are Facebook Live. I want to thank you for your presence today in the building. As we go to God in prayer, let us thank him for his goodness and his mercy. Father, as we get ready to come for hour of prayer, time of preaching, time of teaching, time of instruction, and a time for listening, God, I ask you now that you would strengthen me, God, in my frail body, and take my finite mind, God, that it may be able to withstand what you, the Spirit, is about to say to this church. I ask to bless those who are here physically, God, and those who are here in spirit. God, we love you today, and we trust you, and we pray that your word will come forth like pure gold.
Yeah.
I ask you, God, to bless the sick and the setting, God. I ask you, God, to be with those who need you the most, God, during this time of pandemic. We know, God, that you're well able to do what you called us to do and perform what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray that the faithful of God say, amen.
Amen.
This morning I want to ask the Lord to lift my friend and my brother, Pastor Darrell Lee Carr, Pastor St. Paul United Church of Christ, and his lost his mother, sickness in his family. I ask you all to bless him. Members, Regina Donnell, who's in Moses' home, ask God to give her strength. Brother Jimmy Petit, I think you prayed for him already, but I ask God to lift him and to strengthen him. Ask God to remember those who are on our, Brother Jack Garner, Sister Yvette Garner, who asked for prayer. Jack and the loss of a close friend. We ask you to continue to be in prayer for them. I ask you for prayer for ministers of this church. Minister Walter Ratliff and Sister Ann, I ask you to keep them in prayer.
Yeah.
Minister Shirley Seward and Brother Cliff, I ask you to keep them in prayer.
Yeah.
Minister Lamont Turner, who's president of us, and Sister Ponzella, who's here with us, let's keep them in prayer. Minister Jeff Cook and his family, I want you to keep them in prayer.
Yeah.
Bishop Martin Case, I want you to keep him in prayer. And his wife, Bishop and Apostle Dr. Zella Case, I ask you to keep her in prayer. Amen.
Yeah.
So as we go to God in Scripture, I won't hold you long, because I understand that our mindset is really not there all the time. Ain't that right? So we're not going to tarry. I'm going to invite you to the book of Gospel of St. John, the second chapter, and I will begin reading at the 12th verse. Amen. I'm going to loosen this jacket, if that's all right, because I can stretch a little bit. All right. All right. John's Gospel, second chapter. At the 12th verse. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. And I'm sorry, I said the 12th verse, but I meant the 13th verse. I'm sorry. St. John chapter 2, verse 13 reads thus. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at the tables exchanging money. They made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle, scattered the coins of money changers and overturned their tables. Those who sold doves, he said, get thee out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. The disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then responded to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. You are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body.
Uh-huh.
After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. I just want to talk to you from a subject from a short while today on this little sermon, Sunday school lesson. When the Lord cleans the house, when the Lord cleans the house. Here in John's Gospel, the second chapter, you see Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus and his mother was at a wedding at the Cana of Galilee, and the miracle you see is Jesus turns water into wine. Jesus turned water into wine after he got them to take 6 water pots and fill them with water. Then the governor, after they dipped it out, they gave it to him, and he said, you've saved the best for last. And that was Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine. But what happens here is Jesus leaves Jerusalem.
He goes to Capernaum, which becomes his headquarters. Then he returns back to Jerusalem and he goes into the temple. Now, I told you in John's gospel, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But if you're right, let me teach you for a little while. Matthew 21, if you're right. Matthew 21, 12 through 16. Matthew 21, 12 through 16. Mark 11, verse 15 through 19. So I'm moving too fast, you can go back and look at the video. Luke chapter 19, verses 45 through 46. Matthew, Mark, and Luke is the ending of Jesus' ministry. It's when Jesus goes into Jerusalem for the triumphant entry on his way to the cross. This is when you see Jesus go back to the temple again and clean the house one more time. I'm trying to tell you that when the Lord first shows up, he'll clean your house. He'll clean my house. Then we go through a transition period where we start doing our own thing. And the Lord has to come back again and clean you up to get you right for his service. So in John's gospel, you find out that attitude is everything. Lewis Mann says it like this: attitude is what happens to a man. You heard that, Reverend? But it's less significant than what happens within a man.
Amen.
In other words, if we are children of God, we ought to act a certain way. If we are children of the Lord, we ought to be able to have what I call that attitude, or the connotative meaning, a state of mind. Your state of mind ought to be consistent behavior in the Lord. And then you should have on the inside a disposition. In other words, the state of mind is, no matter what's happening to you on the outside, you have the Christian mindset to walk like God. Because you cannot change your past. You cannot change what people do to you. You cannot change situations and circumstances and storms in your life. So you have to make up your mind to have the mind of Christ in you. Amen.
That's right.
The disposition in you. You can't stop what's happening sometime on the inside. And I may not be able to talk about you, but let me talk about me. There are times in your life that sickness will come on your body. And it was nothing to no fault of your own. It may have just come all of a sudden. But most people are looking at you to know whether you're a child of God or not. And they are not looking at the sickness. They are looking at how you handle the sickness. Folk know when you're going through divorce. Folk know when you're going through financial difficulty. But the difference is, how do you handle yourself as a child of God? And how do you keep a good attitude in God? In other words, how do you change your life to let God fill your house so that you will be filled with the Spirit of God? We've come so far in these last days that people don't even want to use the word Christian anymore. They say that because most folk who say they're Christian are just hiding behind the Bible. They're hiding behind the cross, but they're really not true Christians. They are carnal Christians who live by the flesh. They are weak Christians who can't stand in times of trouble. But I tell you that Acts chapter 11, verse 26, is you will see the word Christian in the Bible. And that word Christian in the Bible, when Paul and Barnabas was getting ready to go on their missionary journey, is letting you know the word Christian means to be Christ-like. Not join the church and become a Christian. Not just get baptized and become a Christian. But believe and give your life to him, Jesus, and let the Holy Spirit work on your mind and your heart until you develop to be more like Christ. In other words, the Bible says, out of issues of the heart, the mouth will speak. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. That's what David meant when he got in trouble. When David had committed adultery, he done all these things against God. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Every now and again, you have to come back to God and let God work on you. Proverbs 4:23 tells you that the heart is vigilant, and out of it flows the issues or the struggles of life. In other words, let me just go on and break it down for you. The devil will talk to your mind. You'll never hear God talk to your mind. Only the enemy will talk to your mind. Only your flesh will talk to your mind. But when God talks to you, he talks to your heart. And he talks to your heart through his word. That's why you have to put your word, his word in you. Yes. So that when times come, good or bad, and instead of your flesh coming out, instead of pushing your buttons and making you angry, Because you have to understand that you still can stand and be strong in the Lord and get your point across. But then God will show you there is a time when you got to stand up. Ecclesiastes said that there's a time for peace, there's a time for war, there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up. There's a time for everything, seasons under the heavens. There is a time. But in this text, you have to realize, you have to be careful with yourself to realize what these people were doing. Jesus walks into the temple of God, the temple of God where Leviticus 10 and 10 tells you. We have to separate the unclean from the clean because God said so. We have to separate the holy from the unholy because the Lord said so. But here, like the way we are today, is the same way that they were then. When Jesus walks in the temple, the Bible says when he got there, he found people selling cattle, they were selling sheep, they were selling doves, and others were sitting around at the money table, right? And the Lord got upset, and he planted a cord of whips, and he drove them out, and he turned the table over. You know, well, wait a minute. Jesus angry? Jesus turned stuff over? You mean a sweet baby Jesus in the manger?
Yes, sir.
You mean him Jesus that opened blind eyes? Him Jesus who was the Son of God? Him Jesus that was holy got angry? He got angry. He got angry because he said that you have turned my Father's house into a house of merchandise. In other words, they took God's house. They turned God's house into a flea market. They turned God's house into a fair. They turned God's house. You ever been to the concession stands when you go to Disney World? Where they know you can't go in there, so they jack up everything. Amen. You can go to a Panthers football game, two hot dogs and a drink, and maybe some fries. You might spend $40. Amen. And you hear me now? But this is what they did. Now, the thing was that Malachi says we were supposed to have brought sacrifices that was unblemished to God. Things to God that was worthy of holiness. Amen. But what these people were doing, they was exploiting people because on the Jewish fest of Passover, people would come from all over to worship the Lord. But yet when they went in the temple, if I came from the United States with money, somebody else came from another country with money, you have to exchange that money like you do now. Amen. You know, you have to go to the foreign exchange and change the dollar, right? But at that time, they had to go get their money at a shepherd's so they could go in the temple and give sacrifice to the Lord. But the way the money changers had set up, they had it set up where they jacked up the price on the shepherd. Amen. And you was paying two or three times what it was worth. In other words, they were gouging the people. That's why we tell you right now, I sure want, they say it don't matter who's in office. I tell you, the devil is alive. It matters. It matters who's in charge. I'm telling y'all, it matters. Amen. But those money changers was exploiting the people. And they was gouging the price. But Jesus came in and set sanctions. Amen. He put an embargo on them. You can't do this anymore in the house of God because the temple is a place of worship. The temple is a place where you come and praise God. The temple is a place where you come and lift up God's name. Amen. Because in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, Solomon built the temple. He built the temple for the purpose of people to come and worship and spend time with God, to get instruction from God, to get direction from God, so that they could be like God. Matter of fact, the temple was set up so that when you mess up, you could come back in the temple and face God and repent for your sins. Amen, somebody up in here, so that you could get back in line with the Lord. Amen. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Go back on your own time and read about the temple. So when Jesus came in and he saw them doing all manner of evil, selling cattle, defective cattle. And then I'm telling you what else they were doing. They were actually exchanging the money, taking the money and putting it in the temple. And then they was going back and getting the money out and putting the money in their pocket. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Say it like today, don't it? Where money is allocated for certain people, amen. And people take that money and put that money in their pocket. God, let me move on. Let me move on. The temple, the temple, the temple. In the temple, the Lord knew about the temple. Y'all remember Jesus when he was 12 years old? And his family was on the way to another festival, another Jewish Passover. And Jesus stayed back behind. They didn't know that Jesus was missing. It took them 3 days to find him. When they found him, he was sitting in the temple. In the temple, teaching and explaining and asking questions to doctors of the law about scripture. And then when Mary and Joseph found him, they was like, what's wrong with you? How did you separate from us? What are you doing? And he looked at them and he said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Yeah. That's what I'm saying to us today. People think that coronavirus is a hoax. It's not a hoax. A lot of people have died. You see them die. People are suffering. So take it seriously. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't listen to people who don't know what they're talking about. Take care of yourself. Isolate yourself and take care of your family. I wish I had somebody. Take care of yourself, okay? Don't listen to this political rhetoric and then get sick and die. I understand we have to keep the economy at a certain pace where we can come in and because we have to eat, amen. We have to have a roof over our head. But the Bible says that God already knows you have need of these things. But I tell you, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? As a matter of fact, what does it profit Michael Thompson to hit the right stock market and then die from coronavirus? I can't spend it. All right, so I'm trying to tell y'all here the right attitude, the right mindset in God, the Christian mindset of God when you go into the house of God. Now let me fix this just a little bit so that I can go into the house. The temple is just like what it was the church today. In Moses' day, it was the tabernacle. It was a tent, amen, where they planted the house of God. The Spirit of God came in, the Shekinah glory of God. The presence of God was there, amen. And then they picked up the tent. When God moved in the cloud, they moved with the cloud, amen. In the temple, they built the temple at a certain place, at a time where people could come in. And it's just like the church today. The church is the place where we come in to meet God. A Hebrew said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as is some, but you should come to the household of God. But I'm telling you that we have allowed everything to happen in the church. People think that only the pulpit should be holy. But then you have folks who profane the pulpit. Folks stay in the pulpit and don't live the same thing they preach. And Paul tells Michael Thompson that if I live any other kind of way other than this B-I-B-L-E, I disqualify myself when I stand before you. So I try to be right with the master. And I'm trying to tell you, but it's just not in the pulpit. But preachers ought to be right. We ought to be a standard of excellence. Deacons and officers and trustees ought to be a standard of excellence. But I'm telling you that Christians ought to be a standard of excellence. If I can't stand in this pulpit and smoke cigarettes and cuss and I'm telling you, while I'm up here and do all kinds of things, folks shouldn't be out there in the foyer cussing, talking about each other, smoking cigarettes in the back, drinking beer, drinking liquor, talking. No. It's holy. Take the shoes off. You on holy ground.
Amen.
When the Lord cleans the house, what happens? Jesus said that when he got there, there was money changers was in the house. He whooped them out of the house. He scattered their coins and he overturned the table. And then to those who sold doves, he told them to get out of here. In other words, that the poor people could go get turtle doves. You could go down in the woods and get those. What if you raise your own animals? Why couldn't you bring your own cattle or your sheep? Y'all know why? Because the inspectors were crooked too. They had to inspect the cattle before they came in or whatever you were sacrificing to the Lord. So they was in cahoots with the money changers, and what they were doing, if you brought your own sacrifice, they would tell you, look at that defect, look at that sword under there, so you can't use that, but you can go over there and purchase one right there, so you go to the temple, so they was all working together. Lord have mercy. But the Lord said, I want y'all to get out of here. And then he said, you turn my father's house into a marketplace. And then his disciples remember when he said, the zeal for your house will consume me. Isaiah 56 and 7. Write that down and go back and look at it. That's when Isaiah wrote the same thing, that my house should be a house for all people. Better stop right there. In the temple in that day, do y'all know that they had four separate compartments? They had where the money changers were for the Gentiles. Those were the non-Jews who was only allowed to come to the outer court. They could not come into the temple. Then in the second part of it, they had where women could only come so far. I was a handsome guy. Everybody was separated. Then they had the next court where the priests were. Amen. They were able to mingle together. And then in the fourth set, they had where the high priest was, or in the, what was supposed to be the holiest of holies, where he could go in and commune with God and cover the people for atonement, for the covering of their sin at that time. Amen? But now, these people have desecrated, in other words, they are standing in the way of the people coming to God. Y'all still looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm saying. You have people today doing the same thing. They are standing in the way of people coming to God because people see the way we act. People see the way we live. People see the way we talk. And they don't want no parts of the church because we are not doing it the way God said. But if we let him clean the house, everybody come. Men can come. Women can come. Children can come. Every race can come. Every ethnicity can come. Everybody, economic status, whether you're up or you're down, middle class, poor, working poor, you still can come to God because he's the Father of all. Isaiah 56 and 7. Because somebody didn't write that down. And when somebody come back and tell you you're not worthy to be in God's house, tell them they're lying. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 56 and 7, my house should be a house of prayer for all people. We turn God's house into everything but a house of prayer. We argue over who should be doing what. We argue over who's qualified. We argue over money. We argue over the Bible. We argue over the Constitution. We argue, but we don't lift up the name of the Lord. The Lord said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. What are you saying, Reverend? I'm saying that the temple in that time was a symbolic or it was a picture, a type, a shadow of things to come. It was a place of worship. It was a place of praise. It was a place of prayer. But do you not know that God the Father does not dwell in buildings made by men's hands? Acts 7:48, in case you think I don't know what I'm talking about. Acts 7:48 said that the Most High do not live in a house made by human hands. But you and I are the temple of the living God. I'm going to try to drive this home so you can understand what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you that 2 Corinthians 13:5 says that the Lord is in you. I'm trying to tell you that Colossians 1:27 says Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm trying to tell you Galatians 2:20 says it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me. I'm trying to tell you that Ephesians 3:17 says Christ has come into your heart to live and to dwell in you. In other words, but you know that God won't dwell in the unclean temple. That's why I told you at the beginning, be careful of your attitude. Be careful who you're around. Be careful how you let your flesh rule you. Because Romans 12 says we ought to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm trying to tell you today that you belong to God. See, a lot of people use this scripture, what I'm going to tell you now, in funerals, and it is so. 2 Corinthians 5:1 said, if this earthly tabernacle or this tent be dissolved, we have a building in heaven, right? Eternal in the heavens, not made by men's hand. But I'm trying to tell you that you and I are representatives on this earth with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and that wherever you walk, God's presence is there. Wherever you pray, God's presence is there. Whenever you lift up the name of Jesus, God's presence is there. 1 Corinthians 3, Reverend Lamont read it to you, that the Lord is the wise master builder. Y'all hear me now? So I'm trying to tell you that you got to live right. I'm trying to tell folks out there in Facebook country that you got to get yourself in order. Because the devil knows that God don't dwell in the unclean house. So he tries to get you out on the limb. But all you got to do is repent. Turn back to God. Turn from your wicked way. Yeah, let me go there before I close this thing. That's why people think that the government is going to change things. No, God's people are going to change it. Let me explain that to you. The government was established in Noah's day. So you must have government and you must have order. Am I right? But the Bible says in Isaiah that the government is on the shoulders of him, Jesus. Y'all got it now? And I'm trying to tell you now that it not only is the government on the shoulders of him, Jesus, living to God and work. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 tells you that you are not your own. I can do what I want to do. I'm grown. Don't nobody tell me what to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you not know that God lives on the inside of you? So we got to live for the Lord. I'm gone. When I tell you this, there's going to come a time when there's not going to be a church house. There's not going to be a temple. We're getting a vision of it now, where we can't come in the church and people are losing their mind. Let me tell you who's losing their mind. People who are just church folk, and they're not Christian. They're not saved. They're not born again. They're losing their mind because they only get their status in here. But I'm trying to tell you that God walks with me. God talks to me. And every time I speak a scripture, every time I go somewhere, when you go to the boardroom, put the dream on, when you get ready to debate somebody, just let him stand beside you and say what you got to say and watch the power of God stand up inside the building that you're in. That's the kind of God I serve. But there's going to come a time, Sister Ponzella and Sister Tracy, where you're not going to need your temple. Here it is, and I'm gone. Revelation 21, when they was in the city, and they saw God the Father, and they saw the Lamb of God. It said that it wasn't no moon there, and it was no sun there, because there was no need for light, because he is the light. Amen. And then not only that, it was no temple, because he is the temple. Amen. Then they got to understanding his disciples in John chapter 2, and I'm gone when the Lord said, in 3 days. Yeah, he said, I'm going to raise it back up. And they said it took 46 years to build this temple. And you telling me you're going to do it in 3 days. The Bible says in John chapter 2 that he was talking about his body. Y'all stop trying to get unholy folks to understand what you're talking about. If they don't understand him, they don't understand you. If they don't like the Lord, they don't like you. Just go ahead on and let the Lord clean your house. Yeah. 3 days, he got up with all power in his hand. He fulfilled what most people miss, and I'm going in Genesis chapter 1. It said that darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit was hovering around waiting. And God, the Father, says, let there be light. And when Jesus died, on Friday, he was in the grave. On Saturday, it was real dark and the light. But on Sunday morning, the Father said, let there be light. And the Holy Ghost came in, and he got up out the grave with all power in his hand. Y'all think that's something, don't you? He said, greater works than these shall we do. I can't talk about you, but I can talk about me. I'm talking about a man named Michael Thompson who wasn't nothing but a wretch. Man named Michael Thompson who couldn't control his flesh and definitely couldn't control his mind. Didn't even know that I had a spirit in me that was able to help me. And when I cried out, like my grandma said, when you get in trouble, call on the name of the Lord. Jeremiah 3:33, you call on him. He coming, amen. Yeah. And when he comes, he gonna clean your house. He gonna set your mind on fire. He gonna set your soul on fire. He gonna put your enemies in check. Because can't nobody, come on, old folks, do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Well, those of you who are listening, if you don't have Christ on the inside, the Bible says if you heard this word, if you believe this word, by faith, not understanding what you believe, and you trust God, confess your sins, the Bible says that thou shalt be saved. Get that straight. Yes, sir. And for those of us who are saved, y'all know we need some deliverance. Because I don't know about you, I might be up in the full pulpit, but folk done pushed my butt. Folk done made me go the other way. But I got sense enough now to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And y'all know what he did? He came. He washed my mind. He cleaned my heart. And he set my foot on a rock to stay. Family, be ye encouraged. Stand strong in the Lord. And let the Lord in. And when he come in, he'll take away all confusion and he'll clean the temple. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that what was said or done today was acceptable in your sight. Yeah. Ask you, God, now, Lord, that you will have mercy on our soul. Say in your word, Lord, that if your people, not the government, not doctors, not attorneys, not preachers, but if your people who are called by your name, humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. Lord, you said you would hear from heaven. You would heal our land. I'm going to leave it right there, Lord, because I believe every word that you say, that you can come in and you can clean up these temples. And we will be more like you every day to trust you and to take care of our people and to love our neighbors as ourselves. When we look to the hills, once cometh our help, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let the faithful of God say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all weak?
Amen.
And amen.
Amen. Amen.